Carry up to Pasuk Chav Dalet. Perik Yud Beis Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Eilim Mispray Roshay Hechalutz Latzavaho Bohu Al David Chevroina. We're now going to go through a section to end of the parak, listing the people, the exact numbers of people who came to celebrate, to participate in the ceremony of anointing David as Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael. This is very interesting for many reasons. First of all, there is no record of this in Sefer Shmuel. Okay. In Sefer Shmuel, there's no mention that this event, that it was a celebration and the whole a description of the number of people that participated in this ceremony of appointing David as Melech of the entire Klal. Only appears in Divrei Hayamim, which right away is a flashing light. What is the significance? Why it goes to show that the Divrei Hayamim has a whole different agenda. The agenda of Divrei Hayamim is not the same agenda as that of Shmuel. And this opens up an idea, which I don't know exactly who says this, could be multiple Mepharshim say this. Divrei Hayam focuses on the participation of Klal Yisrael in the Malchus of David. Whereas Sefer Shmuel focuses, the perspective is from the Malchus. Who is talking? In Sefer Shmuel, the Melech is speaking, or the perspective is from the leaders in Klal Yisrael. They are telling us from their perspective what is happening in the history of Klal Yisrael from the point of view of leadership. Whereas the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we're looking at the history of Klal Yisrael from the perspective of the common man. We're focusing from bottom up, how the whole Klal Yisrael is participating and is joining and is celebrating and recognizing that we have a new Melech, and this Melech is going to lead us. It's a different perspective. Where are you looking from? Here we're looking from the point of the average common man, not from the leaders of Klal Yisrael. That's a very interesting idea, and that really makes a lot of sense why this would mention here and not mention in Sefer Shmuel. Another important thing to keep in mind is that it was a ceremony. Now, we live in a very right-wing world today, Baruch Hashem. I mean, and like everything that is done is questioned. Is there a source? Is there a halacha? I'll give you a little example. Hakama Samat Seva. Right? So I've always grown up with this thing that at some point in time after a person dies, there's a ceremony. You go out on a Sunday to the cemetery in the morning, and there's a Hakama Samat Seva, and they unveiling. Okay, what's the unveiling? So I don't think today anyone actually has a cloth. They take. I used to think, what's an unveiling? Yeah, yeah.
But not religious. They cover it.
They cover it. And they take it off.
And they're playing with the word unveiling rather
right.
than erection of Hakama.
Uh-huh.
We speak of Hakama.
Yes. Erection, right?
While
the God, yeah, the goyim
on the word unveiling.
Unveiling. So that's the
so
way.
Shmat is the veil.
Right, and you
so
take off the veil and you reveal the matseva.
You can go a step further. What they do?
Yeah.
The non-religious people. They bring a folding table and write
food,
and they serve food.
Yeah, I see. I saw that.
I saw that by very front people.
Yes, absolutely.
I can tell you for
absolutely.
A fact.
Okay, so this is something which
in a row outside.
Yes, the Mechalachai.
This is something that is done. So the question is: I recently there was someone, not someone that I know. I was involved, a certain friend, and the person died very young, and we were involved in his matseva and hakama samatseva. And after looking into the whole thing, we came to realize the truth is there is no source for this. This ceremony of going to a cemetery and having everyone come on a Sunday or on the day of the yard, ideally day of the yard site, and unveiling the matseva, or if you don't take off a cloth just to come there and to read the nusach and to say kaddish and say kelmole, really, it's even says in the art school, if I'm not mistaken, has no source in halacha. There is a halacha that you're supposed to have a stone to mark the grave. But to make a ceremony, there's a stone. So you put a stone, that's the min. The minig is the halacha, is he's supposed to have a marker, a matseva. But to make a ceremony where everyone comes together and we read the nusach and there are speeches and kaddish and zekel mole, There is no source for this anywhere in halacha.
Never done in Europe.
And it appears, so I don't know if Europe really wasn't done in Europe, it appears
they
have.
They used to send the gabbai out to the cemetery to, you know, make molly.
Make a kol molly.
That's it. They said it was the biggest source for the nifty to sit in the basement and shouldn't learn.
Okay, but you can do both. You can sit
and learn. I mean, that's what okay. They wouldn't be.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's a non-Jewish custom. It comes from the non-Jews, from the goyim, and somehow it's infiltrated into our minhagim, and it's accepted. What?
And they kashered it. They took a goyim's minhag.
Right. Exactly.
They gave it a religious tint.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's accepted, and it's done by even the Gedolei Yisrael. It's done by everyone. And there's even books and pamphlets and all the Tehillim what to say and source material in the most Haredi circles. But the truth is, it has no makor. And today we live in a very right-wing world. Everyone is questioning what's the source for this, source for this. People have come to realize, and they're very open about it, that there really is no makor for such a thing. So here it's very interesting. Here there is a celebration. There's a very great celebration here to appoint David as Melech. Is there really such an inyan of celebrating in halacha, a makor in halacha, celebrating the appointment of a new king in Klal Yisrael?
Coronation.
So maybe you'll say, well, the pasuk says, "Soim tosim olacha melech." The pasuk says, "Yisrael." So that's just like you have to have a stone. There's a mitzvah. There's a stone should be there. But what? Where do you draw the line between the celebration and the halacha? In other words, is this a sudas mitzvah? They're having here a very big party. Everyone's coming together. Is it called a sudas mitzvah? Is an oval allowed to go to it? Is it, do you say tachnun? Is it called shasimcha b'mona? By a seum, a seum is called a sudas mitzvah. According to some opinions, we don't do this. Technically, you know, you don't say tachnun. It's a real, mikra hadin, if you have a real seum where it's the real deal, You don't say tachlin. It's a zman simcha. Yeah. According to some opinions, really, we don't do this. You can make the bracha shas simcha b'ma'ono. There's an aruch hashulchan. There's a whole discussion. We don't do it. But it's a sudas mitzvah. I'm just bringing out this. I don't know the answer. Here we have here a celebration. It's not mentioned whatsoever in Sefer Shmuel. It's only mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. There's a very great celebration. Representatives are coming from all over Klal Yisrael. And it's a very great trip. In this ancient times, before modern means of transportation, it was a very great trip. It was a very big expense to have food for all these people. There will be like about 200,000, 300,000 people coming to this party to appoint David HaMelech. Why mention it? Sefer Nevi'im is not a sefer that tells you about things which are not meaningful, are not halacha, and not necessary for all generations. The fact that this is recorded in such a great way, with such detail, and all the numbers, and we're going to see all these details, indicates that there is something to ceremony. It's not just a mitzvah. It appears that there is a very great significance in a very great ceremony where representatives from all over Klal Yisrael come and arrive and they celebrate. And I don't know what they did exactly. It doesn't tell us that there were speeches. It doesn't tell us what they served the menu. Well, maybe it does a little bit tell us some of the things of the menu. But it's something which is very, very interesting. Like, you know, recently I saw online when Obama came to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So that when he came, so the whole Kabbalah's punning at the airport, how the plane stopped and he comes down on the red carpet and they play this melody, Hatikvah, and they play all the different songs, and how he reviews the soldiers, and how all the rabbanim there, the chief rabbi was there, and this rabbi was there, and this representative. It's a big ceremony. There's something to it. There's something to it, not just chol. There's something holy about it. And the proof to this idea is, look what's happening. We have here a major chunk of psukim being dedicated to tell us something, which if you go and you tell someone that's very narrow, it's not important. It's go learn a daf gemara. Better learn a daf gemara than go to a party where there are a bunch of politicians and there are people dressed in their uniforms. We're going to see they're all dressed with their weapons. It's not. It's a waste of time. It's a bittul Torah. it's Bittul Torah, then why is it being recorded here with such great detail? Obviously, ceremony has major importance in the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, not just in things that are necessary. Yeah.
I think we see this today philosophically between what they call a Kalta Litvak and Hasidim.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Celebration, ceremony.
Yeah. Well, so the Hasidim, they're more into celebration than the Kalta Litvaks? Not necessarily.
The Tzaddik Boalair, the Rebbe came to town.
Okay. It depends. You can't generalize because sometimes things that are very important to the Litvaks are looked down at by the Hasidim. So everyone has their things which they.
This is like an outward appearance.
Yeah. Okay.
If you go with the idea that the general theme is to give covet to David HaMelech,
yeah,
this is surely very appropriate.
Right, okay, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true. You're giving him kavod. But where in the realm of halacha does this lie? Because we live today in this world, what's the mukar? You say even a vart. Who says you can say such a thing? What's the source? If it's too original, well, right away shoot you down. It's too original, you need a source. Who says you need a source? I mean, you do need a source, but if it's not a matter of halacha, it's not of idea and hashkafa, where do you draw the line between everything is so rigid, has to fit into halacha, and things which are not halacha, but are very necessary, and even though it comes at great expense and great time, like it just, we have a chunk of psukim devoted to this ceremony, which I challenge you to find a makar, is really a sudas mitzvah. This celebration of David HaMelech, if you can really prove to me that it was considered to them, oh, soim tosim olach HaMelech. You're appointing a king and you're making a new king, and therefore it's a sudas mitzvah. Really? I'm not so sure. Maybe you're right. Okay, but let's see. Let's take a night.
No, I would just think that they did it now because there was such opposition from a great majority of Israel. To David, the opposition to David being
the reaffirmation of
so many things, so they want
it was necessary. Okay, to make a ceremony to show that the loyalty of Klal Yisrael is with David. Okay, that's true. Okay, let's see the second pasuk of Dalid. The Eila, the following are the numbers. Misperei are the numbers. Roshei Hecholutz, the heads of the armed soldiers. Hecholutz Latzva. Hecholutz means armed weapons. They're carrying at their side a sword, a shield, latzava, for the army. Bohu, they came al David. Al here means two, near David. That was yesterday's daf. Al is samach. V'shachatu also l'sishchat al chameitz dam zivri. Al means near. Al David, Chevrona. And where did this take place? It's interesting that this took place in Chevron. Chevron is not the place where David settled. David ultimately, after 7 years, David moved to Yerushalayim. But before David moved to Yerushalayim, the ceremony took place and where his malchus started in Chevron. L'chosev, this we mentioned before, this is a very unusual word. It's only used in this context in Divrei Hayamim. L'chosev, to transfer. L'chosev is to turn. The Malchus, it's not considered to be a new Malchus. That's a very interesting concept. Because we know that Malchus must come from Yehuda. L'yosu shev Yehuda n'chogim in Raglov. And Shaul, the fact that Shaul was appointed Melech is very disturbing. Because he's not from Shevet Yehuda. Yet he was anointed by Shmuel with Shemen HaMishra. So how does that exactly fit into the big picture of things? So we discussed this once, it was only meant to be temporary, or it was originally meant to be two different lines of Malchus, the Malchus just Shem Binyamin, and then the Malchus Tai Klali Shaul. But here it seems that the Malchus of Shaul is now being transferred to the Malchus of David. In this respect, David's Malchus is not new, it's not original, it is a continuation, so to speak, of a previous Malchus. How else are you going to explain this expression, L'Hosev? L'Hosev, it's now being transferred, L'Hosev, Malchus Shaul, Elof, to David. Gifi Hashem, according to the command, the mouth of Hashem, Hashem's directive. Let's see the Metzudas Pasuk of Dalid. Misperei, Because we're going to now go through most of the shatim, if not all, and we're going to give numbers, and that's why we use mispere b'loshon rabim. We're not just going to give one total sum of all the people that attended, but we're going to go through each individual. Roshe, harashim shel chalutzi hatzol, these are the leaders of the armed forces. After David ruled over Bnei Yehuda, they came to Davar Lohasev Lesavev Elav Malchus Bnei Shol Lehamlichli Al Kol Yishol. The Malchus should be transferred. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Chavdal Lohasev Malchus Shol Elav Min Bnei Shol from Shol. The dogma that he saw Hamlucha. Okay, same idea that the Malchus has not been transferred. Now we begin the numbers. Pasuk Chav Hey Bnei Yehuda. Okay, so the first and most important are the people from Yehuda, because that is David's Shevet. Those are the ones that were loyal to David from the very beginning. No Seit Sino V'remach, the people that carried shields and spears. Sheshes Alofim Ushmona Meos Chalutzei Tzava. We have 6,800 armed warriors, armed soldiers. They participate in this celebration. Now, we'll see that relative to the numbers of the other Shvatim, it's pretty small. Some other Shvatim had much larger numbers. So it's a question, why did David's own Shevet only send a very small group to represent Shevet Yehuda? It's not really clear. Simply to say it was not necessary. Like we said, Bittul Torah. They were busy doing other things. Why do we have to bother coming to prove our loyalty? We've already proven our loyalty to David. We've been with him for the last 7 years. It's not necessary for us to come. What's necessary is for the rest of Klal Yisrael to show their loyalty. So that's how someone learned why only a very small number of people came to participate in this celebration. Yeah.
I don't understand this thing. This is sort of like a coronation.
Yeah.
Why stress and mention still of military power?
Okay, so there are two.
The war is over.
No, the war is just beginning. The war is just beginning. That when David's whole life were battles, fighting the Pelishtim and Amalek and all the nations, the battles are just beginning. This was from Sefer Shmuel. It's very clear that warfare was the main role of a king.
Okay, it was a temporary thing.
Temporary. It wasn't so that. Look, today it's not temporary. You have to have a strong military. You have to have a strong military force, and then people behave. If you don't have a strong military, then people push you over. They don't take you seriously. And there were major battles in the lifetime of David. But you touched upon something else. Some of the Mefarshim learned that when it says here, "No seitzina v'roimach," means they came dressed in their uniform. In other words, how did they every soldier, even a fireman, has a dress uniform, and then they wear their work uniform. They wear their with their hard hat and their coats with all the flashing lights and gadgets. But when there's a ceremony, they have a special dress uniform. So, and then a police officer, the same thing. And every soldier in the military, whether for the army, the navy, the marines, you have different set of clothing. What you wear in the field and what you wear at a ceremony. When these people came to visit to the coronation of David, how were they dressed? Were they dressed in their kapata and their upat? Because they were all Rosh Yeshiva. We know that in time of Chazal, Torah knowledge went side by side with success in war. So they were all very great Talmidei Chachamim. Mihu ish hayor v'rach halevav v'sienich v'yashav levei, so would not be able to participate in war. Or do they come dressed in their military uniform, with their gear, with their swords and spears and shields? So this is debated by the Mefarshim. Some learn like you, exactly what you said. When it says Bnei Yehuda, no say, when they came, how do they show up? They showed up with their shields and their spears, dressed in the what's it called? What is it called? A certain
ceremonial
word? No. The actual clothing they wear when they go to battle.
Fatigues.
Right. The fatigues. So is it plural? They actually dressed in the clothing they wear when you go out. The camouflage clothing when you go out into war. That's exactly how they were dressed, because they're showing we're here. We're here not just lip service. We're here to fight for you. We're here to put our lives on the line. And to show that, that's how they dress. That's a very powerful statement. We're coming here not dressed in nice clothing and a suit and tie and a hat. We're coming here dressed the way we're going to demonstrate our true loyalty by putting our lives on the line for you. It's a very powerful statement. Or some say, no, they came not dressed in dress clothing, you know, fancy tuxedo, whatever it was, and they just happened to be the leaders of the army. It was a formal black tie dinner.
When I was in the Air Force, there was a time we had to go salute the general. We had a uniform which was a tuxedo with tails.
Oh, really? And you put on your medals and all the different things. Interesting, very interesting. So this is what it says here. There are different opinions. There's something that's very interesting to take note of. Coronation. You learn here all the sedais of a coronation. What to do when you go to the inaugural ball. Coronation. All the sedais. So B'nai Yehuda noy seit tzina v'remach. They're wearing shields and spears. Sheish alav 6,000. Shmon miyas chalut tzavah. Pasuk chavav. B'nai Shimon. Now we learned way back that Shimon, where did they live? Shimon did not have their own territory. They lived in cities in the region of Yehuda. So min b'nei Shimon, gibori chayil latzava, they're warriors for the army. Shivas alafim, 7,100. Notice that you'll see every shevet, this is very interesting, every shevet is described a little bit differently. None are the same. When it comes to Yehuda, they're called the Nosei Tzina V'Roimach. Shields and spears, chalutzei tzava. Shimon, they're called gibori chayil. That's a whole different term.
It's all military.
The military term, but what does it mean? What is the deeper meaning?
Lesser.
I don't know. This is lost from us. The real deeper meaning of these things. The only thing we can think of, like I told you 10 times. United States. We understand there are different divisions of the military. All different. The army, the navy, the marines, and then there's the civil service, and there's the FBI, and there's the CIA, and all these different types of things. All of them also had a different role in the military of the army of David. Okay, now we come to Shimon is called the Gibor Chayil, Latzava, Shaslav Mea. Next, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Umin B'nei Halevi. What about Halevi? Notice it doesn't say anything about
military.
It just says they showed up. They were like religious. They were the Charedim. They came in their kapata, and the way they were dressed, Min B'nei Halevi, they were the Kohanim.
They were the
Masharis. The Masharim, that's right. And that's right.
They were the Armin Dan.
Could be. Min B'nei Halevi, Arbas Alofim, 4,000, V'shei Shmeos, 4,600. Now, who was in charge? So here we have some new names that we are not familiar with, or at least not the way we are accustomed to. V'hoyodo Hanogid. Who is he? And back in Perikei, we listed all of the Kohanim Gedolim. And Yehoyodo does not appear in that list. We have an exact list, seemingly, of all of the Kohanim Gedolim going back from the beginning of time until the end of the Bayis Rishon. Every single Kohen Gadol is accounted for, seemingly, in the list in Perikei. And Yehoyada does not appear. So what's going on? Because the word Nagid means a prince, and some of the Mefarshim want to learn Nagid in this context means that he was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol. And he was the father of Binoyahu. Binoyahu, remember we have Binoyahu ben Yehoyada? Remember that Binoyahu ben Yehoyada? Binoyahu, the son of Yehoyada. I told them, the Ben Yishchai named all of his svarim after this person, Binoyahu. He has one sefer called Binoyahu. I think the most popular sefer, this Anagadata, a very popular sefer Anagadata on Shas, is Ben Yehoyada. So here he is. Here is Yehoyada, the father of Binoyahu. He's called in Ogidim as a prince. Either he was a Kohen Gadol, and he's not mentioned in Perikei because that's not then a complete list. That's only a partial list. There are more Kohanim Gadolim that are not mentioned there, which are mentioned elsewhere, and here is an example. Or we can say that he was a political leader. He was a governor. He was a mayor. He was a very distinguished person called the Nogid, La Aharon. He was part of part of the Kohanim. He was a prince for the Shevet of Aaron among the Kohanim, because remember, Levi is divided into four families, and of the four families, one from one became the Kohanim, and the other three were the Levim. The Imo with him was Shloishas Alofim, was 3,000, was Shamayos 700. Pasuk, now who else? Now Pasuk of Tes, who else showed up from Shevet Levi to this ceremony? Vitzadok Nar. Tzadok was at this point in time a young man. Now Tzadok HaKohen plays a very important role in Sefer Shmuel. He was David's main Kohen Gadol. In the lifetime of David HaMelech, who was the Kohen Gadol in his reign? Tzadok HaKohen. He appears in the Haftarah about David and Bathsheba. He was, so some of the Mepharshim want to learn that we're apologizing. If we're now discussing David HaMelech becoming king, you would expect immediately Tzadok is the Kohen Gadol. Along comes the Pasuk and says, no. Tzadok became Kohen Gadol a little bit later in the lifetime of David, and because at this point in time he was still yet a young man. He was still in college. He was not yet immature yet. And therefore, at this point in time, when David was appointed king, the one that was in charge was Yehoyada, he was the Nogid. Tzadok was in training.
He was a Gibor
Chayil. He had potential. They were grooming him to be the next Kohen Gadol, but he was still not yet ready. Tzadok Na'ar, he was a Gibor Chayil, Ubeis Aviv, and he came from a very distinguished family. The home of his father, Sarim Eshim Ushnoim, were 22. Seemingly, this means that they showed up. They attended the ceremony. That's what it means, 22. So Tzadok brought with him the 22 people of his very distinguished family. He was only a nar, and he was not in charge, but the day would come when he would take over the reins of leadership from, seemingly, Yehoyada Hanogit. Pasuk Lamed. Let's review. It does. Did the Kohanim join the army? It doesn't say, at least not. It says that Tzadok was a Gibor Choyil. Okay, so it could be. I don't know what it means. What does it mean he was a Gibor Choyil? Seemingly he was a warrior. Seemingly he was a warrior. So I have to assume that they were definitely Kohanim that were part of the army. Question was, what was that their main role? The Pasuk makes it very clear that's not their role in Klal. Their role in Klal Yisrael is to be devoted to Hashem's service, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, as Kohanim and Levim. The Pasuk makes it very clear they don't have.
In war, the Kohanim went.
Milchames mitzvah, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. Right, he went out to war with them. He was the main chaplain. Chazal say it comes to Milchames mitzvah. Afilu kala mitoch chupasa has to go to war. Al achas kama v'kama. Every Kohen picks up a weapon. We know that at the time of the Bayis Sirish and the Bayis Sheni, who were the main people who defended the Beis HaMikdash, who gave their lives, who fought the most, they were the Kohanim, the Kohanim and Levim. Absolutely. I mean, that's a historical fact. There's nothing to talk about. But was that meant to be their role? It would seem not. Because it seems that the Pasuk makes it very clear that they don't have a portion in the land. They don't have to go fight to go conquer land because they don't have any chelik in the land. And they're going to live in the Beis HaMikdash and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Did they fight? Historically, they definitely fought in the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni. Here it says that it was the Gibor Chayil. But relative to the other Shvatim, it doesn't emphasize even here that they were part of the Tzava. All the other Shvatim, it says, Noisei Tzin V'Roimach, Ve'achalutzei Tzava, Gibor Chayil Tzava. Levi doesn't say. It just says there were very few people who even showed up. It says 3,700. Tzadok came with 22 members of his distinguished family. Pasuk Lamed. Umin b'nei Binyamin. Now, this is really touching because Binyamin, they are the ones who were loyal to Shaul. And now they're coming to pledge their allegiance to David. So they achei Shaul. Shloishes alofim. 3,000 people came from Binyamin. V'ad heina. Now, until now, and here's the difficulty the Pasuk is coming to address. We learned yesterday that we already learned about a whole group from Binyamin that joined David. The answer is that group joined David when Shaul was still alive. If you remember yesterday, that whole story where they came from Yehuda Binyamin, that was when Shaul was alive, and they defected from the camp of Shaul to join David. But still, there was a very significant number of people from Beshevet Ben Yamin that were still loyal to Shaul at that point in time. Now Shaul has died, Ish-bosheth has died, time has passed, and Klal Yisrael has now decided that David's going to be the Melech for the entire Klal Yisrael, and the people who have not yet pledged their allegiance to David from Shevet Binyamin are now for the first time showing up. And that's what the Pasuk explains. And these 3,000 people until now, Marbisam, most of them, okay, it doesn't say Marbisam here, means most of them. And the word the sum, it doesn't, instead of just saying that, the emphasis of sum indicates not just them, but the people that were beneath them, the people under them, their underlings, Shomrim were guardians. In this context, Shomrim means were loyal. Mishmeres Beis Shaul were loyal to the watch of the family of Shaul, meaning that they were loyal to guard the Malchus of Shaul, hoping that the Malchus would continue with his children and descendants, but now are beginning to switch and pledge their loyalty to David. Let us... What? It doesn't say exactly. That's a very good point. It does not make any mention of any military description when it comes to these 3,000 people of Shaul. It's a very good point. Let's see into some of these psukim. Let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Hei. Pasuk Chaf Hei was discussing Yehuda. Yehuda came with shields. Be'es Yavola Mulchama Nosei Tzina. At the time when they go to war. So from the Mitzudos, it seems to say that it's a description of who they were. It does not mean they actually came to this ceremony with their shields. Because that's how he teaches. When will they know Seitzina? The ace, Yavola Nuchama. But right now is not a war. Right now is a black tie dinner. Right now they're not coming with their shields and spears. Right now they're coming dressed in tuxedos. Alafim Ushmoyne Meos. Mitzudos. Yahyada. Who is Yahyada? Yahyada is the father of Binayahu. Who Aviv Shal Binayahu? Vahoya Hasar al Binay Aharon. He was the leader over the children of Aaron. Again, that can mean he was the Kohen Gadol, maybe, yeah, maybe not. Pasuk of Tes Nar. What about a Tzadok, the famous Tzadok HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol on top of David? He was only a Nar. Oz Bevo Hoya Adai Nar B'Shanim. He was just a little kid. And that's why he was Nagy the Kohen Gadol. Vigibur Chayil, Ubo Imo Beis Aviv Hasam, who came with him, all of his family, he had a very distinguished family, 22 members showed up with him. Achei Shol, who else came? The Kroeve Shol, Yadhena, Ad Hazman Ahu Adayin Hoyu Marbis and Shehem, most of the people, Shoimrim Mishmeres Beis Shol, Lahamed Hamalchus Biyodam. They didn't want to give it over, they were hedging. They were not yet ready to go and show their loyalty to David. Only a small number of them came and switched their loyalty to David when David was otzur, when he was locked up in by the Pelishtim outside of Eretz Shaul in Tziklag. But after Shaul died, and then a year later when Shaul's son Ish-bosheth, his son succeeded him for a short period of time, and after Ish-bosheth died, Hirbu Lovei Gamehen, even they now switched loyalty and came to pledge allegiance to David. Let's see the Rashis. Rashi Pasuk Chaf Hei Bnei Yehuda Nosei Tzina Bnei Nachsheish Al Shtalafim B'Shmona Meos V'Altisma Shema Yehuda Bolo Ma'at Mikol Shevet V'Shevet Shabolo Shabolo. Rashi is asking a very important question. What is going on? We would expect at this point when they're coming to anoint David as Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael, who would be to take the lead? Yehuda would take the lead. And yet when we go to all the numbers, we're going to find Menashe provided 18,000, Ephraim 20,000, Zebulun 50,000, Naphtali 38,000, Dan 28,000, Asher 40. We got big numbers. Okay, we got big donors here. And who over here is giving peanuts? Yehuda. Yehuda, they're expected to provide the majority. After all, this is their man. This is their party. Okay? Their party. He represents them. What happened to them? So Rashi says, don't worry. Calm down. V'altisma. Shem Yehuda bolo ma'at mikol shem v'shem v'shem bolo sh'arei ein tzorech lover loy shem adam Yehuda. Leham lichay. Okay, it's a whole different way of looking at this. There's no need for them to come. Why should we take off a day's work? to come to this party. It's not a halacha. There's no halacha. Show me where. Show me your makar in the pasuk that there's a mitzvah to come. There's no mitzvah. It's just a matter of pledging loyalty. We already have proven ourselves to David. They already showed their loyalty to David and Hebron for 7 years. Aval yeser hashvatim shahayu im bnei shol arata heim hutzruchu lovei b'chevron liham licho. They're the ones that needed to come and show that they're serious.
An affirmation.
Yes. Okay. It's a very, very interesting Rashi. Okay. Very innocent Rashi, but it says quite a bit about the nature of what this was all about. Chalutzei tzava hamotzim min ha'am. The people that hamoitzim min ha'am v'dugmosei chalutzei tzva dematos, it means those that go out. It means those that go out to war from the people. Not everyone goes to war. Only you have to be fit and able bodied to fight in war. So these are the numbers of people. V'yesha imim chalutzim k'mazrizim k'maratza v'hachalitzenu. It means chalutzah here, according to Rashi's second interpretation, does not necessarily mean soldiers. It means zerizin. It means the elite, people that are very diligent. The diligent members of the shvatim, the community leaders, the lay leaders. I guess that's what that means. It doesn't necessarily mean the army. Chalutzei tzava. The tzava means the host of the people who are diligent in taking care of communal needs. They arrived at the ceremony to affirm David's malchus.
Pasuk.
What? Ritzei v'hachalitzenu. Find favor v'hachalitzenu and strengthen us. Hachalitzenu, like you say, chilutz atzamos. That's what Rashi here says. Zrizin. To strengthen. Mm-hmm. To strengthen. Chalitza means to loosen. So those two words, we discussed this exactly.
Strengthen and loosen.
Yishrosh and Yisharesh. Yishrosh means to take root. Yishrosh. Yisharesh means to uproot. Kadosh, that means designation. That doesn't necessarily mean, okay, that could also be a little bit holy and unholy. It just means that a person can be, something can be designated for holiness or can be designated for defilement, for contamination. Chalitza and chilutz are opposites. Chalitza means to loosen and cholutz means to insert. Chilutz atzamos. The bones shall be put into their sockets, shall be fastened. Chalitza means to unfasten. You want the bones to be firmly put into their sockets. So we say, v'hachalitzenu, we're using it in the form of chilutz atzamos. Find favor, v'hachalitzenu, and strengthen us. Yeah.
You say Hebron is Shechem, right?
No.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk of Chas. So we have two translations for Chalutzei Tzava. Chalutzei Tzava either means the soldiers or it means those that are zrizim, the diligent members of the tribe. Pasuk Chaf Ches and Rashi. Yehoyada Hanagid Alarnu Aviv Shal Binayahu. Okay, Yehoyada is the father of Binayahu. Binayahu Ben Yehoyada was a Kohen, and he was the one that learned that wiped out the two Ariel Moav on a snowy day, and he took the lion. He was able to go out and wipe out and kill the lion on a snowy day. We discussed it, all the various midrashim, the significance of his greatness in Torah and in power of war. Next, Hanogi La'aron, Hamoitzi V'Hamevi. Rashi learns he does not necessarily mean that he was a Kohen Gadol. Hanogi means he was the one that was Motzi V'Hamevi. He took out and brought in. He was in charge. He was in charge of the administrator of the Shevet, of Kohanim. The Ima with him was Shloish Salafim V'Shamayos, Kulam Ibn Aaron, Hakohen V'Yoda, Shay Ibn Yoyosh, Ben Bin Yo, Ben Shal Yoyada. All of these were Aaron. V'Hayada, Shay Ibn Yoyosh, Ben Ben Binayahu Bino Shel Yehoyada. So there's another Yehoyada. Okay, there's another Yehoyada that appears much later on in history. He was a descendant of this Yehoyada. He's not the same. Rashi even wants to point out there are many Yehoyadas. There are many Yehoyadas, and you have to be careful. That was Zechariah. That Yehoyada had a son, Zechariah. He's the one that we mentioned in the Kinos that was murdered. He was Taka Kohen. He wasn't Kohen Gadol. That's Zechariah. He was a Kohen. He was preaching not to do Avodah Zarah because there's going to be a Korban, and he was killed on Yom Kippur, which was Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash by the king Yoash and his people. So that was Zechariah ben Yehoyada, and that Yehoyada was ben, a descendant of Binayahu. I don't know if he was Mamish or son, he was actually his son, who was the son of Yehoyada. So the names were recycled. The names, children and great-grandchildren were named after their great-grandparents. Rashi just wants to point out that be careful when you learn Tanakh, there are multiple Yehoyadas. Here is a very early Yehoyada, not to be confused with Yehoyada who lived during the time of Yoash, and in fact he was the one that was responsible for saving his life. I forgot. One of the queens was a wicked queen, and she wiped out all of. She killed her own children. What? Asaliyahu, right? Asalia. Asalia killed her own children, and Yehoyada and his wife saved Yoash, and they had a son, Zechariah, and Zechariah was killed. And because he was killed, his blood was bubbling for 250 years until Nebuzaradan showed up and wanted to appease the blood, and he killed almost a million children to appease the blood, and that the blood did not stop. Yes, and the blood did not stop bubbling. And then he said, Hashem, I've already taken the best. You want me to wipe out the entire nation? And then the blood stopped bubbling. And then Nebuzaradan, it says in the Gemara, became a Baal Tshuva. He became a Ger. He said, for the blood of one person, look how many people had to die. Can you imagine what's going to be with me, what I did? And he became a Ger. That's what it says in the Gemara. Very, very hard to grasp the entire idea. Let's go further in the next Rashi. The Tzadok Nar. What about Tzadok? What's going on with him? So, Leficha Al Tisma Shlo Hayinage. Do not worry why he's not an Nugget. The reason why he's not an Nugget is because he's too young. He brought with him 22 people. Zehoya Gedula Gedola. This was a very great Gedula. What's the Gedula? The Alkein Loka Hakohuna Gedola Meviosa Vinasnula Tzadok Hakohen. So Rashi says Yehoyada was not a Kohen Gadol. The one that was the Kohen Gadol before him was Eviyasar. And the reason why he succeeded Eviyasar was because he had with him 22 Sarim. And it's not really clear what the Gedula is. I don't know what the Gedula is. Zehoyo Gedula Gedola. 22 Sarim accompanied Tzadok. And that's why he was the next one in line to succeed Eviyasar as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, min b'nebiyam, next Rashi, b'nebiyam in achesol, v'al tismash lebo eila kiim gimel alofim, ki adheina marbisam shaymim mishmeres b'nei shol lo'oizren. So Rashi puts a very, very negative twist on this. The reason why only 3,000 people showed up was because still at this point in time, the way Rashi learns is most of Shevi Binyamin are still loyal to Shaul. They're not so quick. They're not so swift to join, to switch sides, and to pledge your allegiance to David. That's how Rashi says. Valtisma shalo bo elokim gimalavim ki ad hena. Until this point in time, marbisam shemir mishmeres b'nei Shaul Oizran, they still were loyal to their family, to Shaul, who was a member of Shevet Binyamin. Okay. They knew, but they didn't want to believe it would happen, or maybe not in their lifetimes. That goes back to the question, of what's going on. Lo Yasser Shevet Miyehuda. So we gave two answers. One answer is it was only meant to be temporary. So temporary can be for 500 years. Not yet. We're not ready yet. Or it can be that it was meant to be a double line of Malchus. David, which will be a Melech over the entire Klal Yisrael. But Shaul will always be Melech over Shevet Binyamin, and they'll work together. There'll be two lines of Malchus. And had Shaul not sinned, what would have happened? Then it could have very well been, that's what would have been. Shaul and his children would have remained leaders over their tribe. So the tribe of Shevet Binyamin were not willing to concede that Malchus has now been completely lost from their tribe and transferred, as it says, Lahasef, to be shifted to the tribe of David. Okay, so that's a very, very big look.
Can I turn in Mishmeres Beishol as a palace guard?
Not really. That's not how they translate it. They translate Mishmeres means more of a symbolic, more of they're loyal. They still, the Mishmeres, the guard, the charge of Shaimrim. They're loyal to guard, Mishmeres Beishol. The Mishmeres, meaning the authority of Shaul. How does the Mitzudas translate it? There is no translation of Mitzudas from the Mitzudas Tzion. What does it say again in the Mitzudas David? Achei Mishmeres Beishol Lahamid Hamalchus Biyodam. He translates the Mishmeres to mean the Malchus. Mishmeres means the charge. The authority of Shaul. Okay, so that concludes that. Let's do a few psukim. Let's just do Ephraim. Umin b'nei Ephraim. Now, who comes next? Back to pasuk lamed aleph. Pas lamed aleph. Umin b'nei Ephraim. Eshem elef 20,000. Ushmoyne meos and 800. Who are these people? Gibori chayil. Anshe Shemos Leves Avosam. A new title, new term. A new term. They're called Anshe Shemos. We never had that before. We didn't call people by the new way to describe the people from Ephraim, that each one was a renowned individual. Shame had a reputation. They had a reputation. Look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Anshei Shemos Hayu Hamufusamim V'Yiduim Bishmam B'Beis Avosam. They were well known. They were popular people, renowned. Other Mefarshim learned a little bit different. This was the Pasuk in Bereishis. Rabbi Mayevsky, remember the Pasuk is Anshei Shem. Him Hayu Anshei Shem. One of the descendants of Maisa Bereishis, or Manoach, yeah? The Giants?
What?
The Giants?
Yeah.
They were Anshe Shem. Pasuk says about certain people, giants, they were Anshe Shem. Now what does it mean there? So there are two interpretations. I think Rashi quotes them both. One is renown. Everyone knows them. They're in the news. Right? All the children have the baseball cards. They're on the baseball cards. Everyone knows who they are. They are the Gedolim pictures. The other interpretation is the word shame. Shame comes from the word Hashem Olam. They were always famous people. Other interpretation is Anshe Shame there means Shemama, desolation. They were so mighty when they walked into a city, that was it. The city was Shemama, Shamim. Desolate, was destroyed. Within a short period of time, they came in, they demolished the entire city with their military might. Shemama. So some want to take that interpretation that's used there in Bereishis and apply it here as well, because since here the theme of all of the other Shvatim are, they are very great warriors. They're soldiers. They have shields and spears. And they chalutzei tzava. Here, when it says about Ephraim, they were Anshe Shem, it means Anshe Shemama. They were so mighty, when they walked into enemy territory, it was over. The territory, the cities were completely obliterated off the face of the earth. Shemama. Okay, that's another interpretation to explain the significance of Ephraim.
They cannot say famous persons.
I told you that's the first interpretation. I'm giving you another interpretation. Shemos here means people who had the power to obliterate. Shame comes from the word shemama, shamim. Okay, let's see what it says here in No Rashi. Let's go now. Well, let's just go until you saw one more pasuk on base. Umechatzi mate Menashe. Now, if you remember, I told you yesterday we had Menashe. Menashe joined David when he was coming back from Tziklag. Right? Yesterday we learned. The David was going back to Tziklag. David was accompanying Achish, the Pelishtim, to go fight Shaul and his men. And Achish told David, you got to go back because my people don't trust you. The Sarnei Plishtim are afraid that you're going to betray them. You're trying to win favor with Shaul, and you're going to betray them. You're going to deliver their heads into the hand of Shaul. Therefore, I don't want you to join us in this battle. Go back home. He goes back home. On the way back home, who does he meet? Anshei Menashe. Anshei Menashe says, David, we want to join you. We're loyal to you. David's fine. Come with me. They came back home, and what happened? Amalek wiped out David Ziklag. So Menashe, together with David, went to pursue the Amalekim, to kill out the Amalekim. So we already had Menashe yesterday. Now we're telling us that more members of Menashe from the other, it could be that this from the other half, they came, the other side of the Yarden, could be this was on Atzma. So it could be that the people of Menashe were on the west side, the east side. Could be that the people from Menashe from yesterday were from the west. We're from the east. The people from yesterday were from the east, and these were from the area of Atzma, which is the west. So Mechatzim, Mati Menashe, Shmoyin, also all of 80,000 Asher Nikvu Bishemos, a new expression. See, every Sheva gets their own terminology. Specified. Nikvu means to be specified by name. Lavo Lahamlich Estav. They all have come. What was their agenda? It doesn't say this anywhere else. Here is Lahamlich. The other show just coming to watch. Here, these people from Menashe, they are coming, lahamlich, they're coming to anoint, to crown David as Melech. Why Menashe? So it could be because Menashe, really, they are children of Yosef. Right? Yosef, let's go through, we discussed this at one point in time. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov is the father of Klal Yisrael. Who did Yaakov give over his legacy to? Who was his favorite child? Yosef. Therefore, Yosef was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Then you go down another generation. Who has the power? It's Ephraim and Menashe. So the koach of Malchus lies in Yosef's children. Menashe is the one that will lead the ceremony in acknowledging that Yehuda will now be Melech in Klal Yisrael, because Malchus really belongs to Yosef. This was all part of the divine plan. Yosef Shevet in Yehuda. But until that point happens, there has to be the one that has the koach of Malchus is Yosef. And Yosef has two children, Ephraim and Menashe, who sat by the side of Yosef, by Yavahoish Menashe. So it would seem that Menashe took over from his father Yaakov the koach of the Malchus, the authority of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. Now when we're going to anoint, appoint, and affirm, acknowledge Yehuda, David, as Melech, it has to be done with authority. Who has the authority to do so? Yosef. Who's Yosef? Menashe. That's why only by Menashe does it say they have now come lehamlich es David, to actually give over the malchus to David. Let's see that we'll stop. They specify by name who is coming. They have the most unique specification from all of the Shvatim. Rashi, there is none, and we only have a few Shvatim left until we conclude this chapter. Okay, let us stop here.